It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here in Claire. Your independence of me, Ernest Hancock from Phoenix, Arizona, in the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. I held over Martha DeForest because, she had something to say. It was a short segment last time. And Martha, I wanted to give you an opportunity to share. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you, Ernie. Well, you've been quoting from the 13th Amendment, and one of my all-time favorite quotes is this: I didn't know I was a slave until I found out I couldn't do the things I wanted. And that was Frederick Douglass, who knew better than anyone what it was to be a slave.
You know, this is, I was very surprised. I mean, a lot of things don't surprise me, but I was surprised at the overwhelming resources that went into this one challenge of government using the 13th Amendment. When we challenged the idea that they would create a situation to where in order to do anything, exercise any freedom, you had to contract with a third party. I'll give you an example. Here in Arizona, they have what they call vehicle emissions testing. And you have to go through the emissions, and the government says you got to go through this company, and you pay them, and then they certify, and you go, well, this applied to that, too. They go, look, you're forcing me into a third-party contract with these people? It might as well just be a government monopoly, sponsored by the government. And they go, yeah, you're right. So they changed the laws to where now it's kind of a government department that's managed or or employees leased by the same company that did, and they don't even have to pay taxes on their property now. So it came out even better. So I'm going, okay. Then you have, at a federal level, there was a campaign that lasted about, I don't know, a week. You know, they came out from the United Postal Service in the mid-90s, and they said, beating them every day in every way, challenging UPS and FedEx. We're beating them every day in every way. And a good friend of mine that's a letter carrier here was also the state chair of the Libertarian Party in the 90s. And he, as a union steward, I mean, he belongs in a union. He's part of, the system inside the Postal Service. And he says, hey, that's not really an accurate statement because we don't pay taxes on our property. You can't, sit there and claim you're beating them everywhere when you don't have the same cost overhead that these other private companies do. That's not really going to work out because I know, somebody, I wouldn't know who, but somebody's going to bring that up. So you might want to change this. So they did. This is how they think. They are in this situation that government exists to manage people. Who is out there saying, no, that is not what government's for? It is there, what the Declaration of Independence said, is to free people. And if they are not defending individual rights, they need to be altered or abolished. Well, when we come back, I want to talk to Mark. Can you stay another segment?
Oh, sure. How long is your segment?
I'm sorry?
How long is your segment?
Well, the break is 3 minutes, and then we'll be for another 12 minutes or so. And we'll get into it a little bit because Martha was part of the Lovevolution, too. And what state are you in?
I'm in Washington State.
So in Washington State, there was, a lot going on there, too. And everybody knew what everybody was doing inside this freeing minds thing. And it had an impact on Martha. So I just, what kind of impact that had and how it fuels the inspiration and the energy for other activities such as this lawsuit. We'll be right back. God knows I want to break free.
It's time to declare your independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443. And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Martha DeForest. She's doing the same kind of thing. Let's go ahead and give out the web page, the primary that people would need to go to get more information on this, Martha.
Sure, Ernie. That website is thefundforpersonalliberty. And
dot org. The Fund for Personal Liberty .org. So the fund, I'm getting the impression that you want the money from people to help fund this. Is that what's going on?
Well, we do. We do. We're partly educational, but litigation is not something we can do for free. And I'm a real balance sheet driven kind of a person, and I look at what money can buy. And our lawsuit, while it's extremely expensive, it is a fraction of the cost of what it costs to elect a single representative to Congress.
And you have more impact. You know, my whole, you know, that's one thing. We had talked earlier this morning, and you've been involved in libertarian politics since the
1980.
Yeah, you know, a while.
So, 30 years.
So you've seen, you know, it come and go and this. I mean, have you seen anything, certainly in such a short period of time, have the impact of the Levolution?
No, never. It totally astounded me. Took me by surprise. I was one of those people who, when I heard the rumor that Ron Paul was running, which was probably, I think I was about 4 to 6 weeks behind on that news, and I heard he was running. I'd already voted for him in 88, and I thought, wow, this is great. And so I Googled it up, and next thing I knew, there was Daily Paul, there was there were videos on YouTube. It just blew my mind. Just blew my mind. It was incredible.
But, you know, it's interesting from someone that's been a libertarian as long as you and gone through this. I'm wondering, why was it such a surprise? What was it that surprised you?
I'll tell you exactly what surprised me. The schools have been taught with a socialist slant for a long time. It started in my generation, and it's continued. And I was starting to think that I was the last libertarian, that I was the youngest libertarian, that there were no more people who believed in themselves, believed in freedom, believed in responsibility that comes with that freedom. And I just thought, yeah, I kind of thought it was over. I mean, there are pockets of people. You always run across people who are real go-getters and self-starters. But I didn't think there were people who wanted to engage in the political process anymore, and found out that wasn't true.
Well, I you know, from my experience, having, you know, nose to grindstone out there for years, I've been doing this. It wasn't a surprise to me, and I knew this was going to happen. That's why we went so whole hog into it in the beginning. We already knew. Because what a lot of people, certainly libertarians that are, I call them shiny badgers. You know, these are the guys that they run for the position, and I got a shiny badge and a title, and I'm all shiny badge. And I get to spend other people's money, and I have some other shiny badge friends, and we decide whatever it is, a collective idea of how we're going to run everybody else. The same thing, you know, with health care, same thing with Social Security, same thing with government. They always get into this beltway mentality that if we all just got $5 from everybody in 5 minutes of their time and five, whatever it is, to do what I want to do, then all would be saved. And they never, it never even occurs to them that they'd be of service to what the individual 15-year-old in Oklahoma little town of that has, you know, some effort and something like what you're doing, that is so instructive. We could spend a gazillion, like you say, a gazillion dollars on a congressional candidate as opposed to having this articulated in detail to those that care in meticulous detail that you can sit there and look at what the government's arguments are, what the history has been, what they're claiming over you, what options you have as an individual, are you not free, who's protecting your rights to be free. All this, all of it is being detailed And somehow that's not as important as being in charge of everybody's pocketbook, and we're going to tell them how to be free. And I'm going, you know, this is not how it works. I've been an activist for a long time. I knew people wanted to express themselves. And if you start inspiring that, if you start going, you know, this is how you can have an impact. This is how you can we make a big deal out of your very case right there. I mean, I think it's so crucial for people to understand that these people want to be taken out of these kinds of control over their very lives in health care and save the taxpayers money. We do not want the benefit, but they are making it punitive.
And you know, Ernie, this lawsuit has the same potential as the Kelo lawsuit had with private property rights and the Heller case had with Second Amendment rights. It is at that level of magnitude.
Okay, now think about it. Now think about it. What happened in the Kelo case? Who won that one?
Well, the government won, but in 43 states, individuals rose up and strengthened private property.
Exactly my point.
Yeah.
Exactly my point. People are going, oh, well, the government, you know, clamped down on it, turned the vice one more time, put the iron fist on, bonked them on the head, and they win. I go, did they really?
And
did they
really? Eminent domain was not a standard phrase in our vocabulary until after Kelo.
So this is exactly the same kind of thing. And the point that I make with all the activism that I advocate is that they confuse me with someone that gives a rip what some black-robed government employee, taxpayer-funded hack for the government has to say. Of course, when you give the government the ability to determine the government's actions are constitutional or not, what do you think was going to happen? So I'm going, look, you know, you got the executive, the legislative, and judicial lined up against the rights of the individual. You find yourself in a free speech zone. That's what happens. So I'm going, look, the benefit of these actions is the education that we get, that people understand what's going on, that we know where to put our trust. And it's not in government, it's in ourselves. And just the awakening, the understanding, now with these kinds of things, and the Kelo decision is a perfect example, and as is yours, this is where libertarians shine. This is where we have an understanding. This is why we do it, is to free minds. Now your heart and soul is yours, but I mean your body, man, your butt's theirs. You're going, oh, and we want to prove it to you. Here's our gun. Good. See? Look at the gun. Everybody look at the gun. See the gun? See the force involved in the system? Inherent in the system. The oppression inherent in the system. You know, it's like a Monty Python Search of the Holy Grail scene, you know? It's like, see, I'm being repressed. I'm being repressed. So this is of enormous value in why I want to emphasize this and follow this case so much. Because in this is we have what? People just want to be left alone. There are those that just want to be left alone, and there are those that just won't leave them alone. And who's not leaving them alone? The guy with the big giant hammer that with one hand took the money from you in the for Social Security benefits, and in the other is taking it away from you because you refuse to spend even more of their money and your fellow taxpayers' money in allowing them to control your health care. And I'm going, do you really think it freaking matters what a judge says on this? I want everybody to know this.
Yep. And you know, you're talking about the money being taken. And we have an amendment. We have another amendment. I love the Constitution. I carry multiple copies with me. I give them out whenever a topic comes up. I'll pull mine out and hand it to the person after I've referred to it. But it says in the Constitution, and I'm going to quote this exactly for you, nor shall any person be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Well, let me tell you, when bureaucrats are making our laws and they don't have a review process, there is positively 100% lack of visibility into the process. we are losing our property without
okay.
due process of the law.
All right, I'm not going to let you go. You got to go another second. We'll go all the time.
My pleasure.
Because
my pleasure.
I'm telling you, this is, you know, I'm not a big, listeners of the show know I'm a big declare your independence kind of guy. I'm not a big giant, you know, Constitution fan. And I'll tell you why. And you just gave a good example there. You know, we're not going to take from you without due process. It's a takings clause. But what did they give them the power to do? To take. We're going to take. Oh, but we're going to compensate you. And who gets to decide what the compensation is? They do. And I'm going, wait a minute. If I was freaking king of the world, I'd love to have a document like this. Eminent domain, the power to tax, the power to regulate commerce. Man, the Constitution, might as well call it the Communist Manifesto. If it wasn't for the Bill of Rights, it would be worse than useless. And I think that they took this document and they're using it to beat us over the head with it and say, yeah, we give you just compensation. And I go, well, I just want a little more. No, we decide what is just. And you know what's just? We're going to take all the money that you put into Social Security, and you don't get anything for it. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, Martha DeForest. I threw her a little curve there. You know, I'm going to this Constitution thing. I'm going, heck, man, if they didn't allow or create the circumstances in which we have these problems, they sure as heck didn't. It didn't prevent it. You know, I mean, they're ignoring the Bill of Rights every chance they get. So I'm like this social contract that I never signed. I'm going, at what point does this thing become null and void? I mean, when does that happen? Does it ever happen, Martha?
I don't know. But you put something really interesting out there when you said the Constitution grants the government the authority to tax and the authority to do this. And
the authority to steal. The authority to take your land. And you're going, oh, it's okay as long as you guys adjudicate, I get something for it and let you guys decide. I'm going, well, hell, you already lost the argument.
Well, let me put this out to you. The Constitution is a framework, okay? It provides a structure under which we organize ourselves. And
yeah, see, you're already losing the argument right there.
Right. We don't want to be organized. We want to be.
Yeah, you see my point? It's a mindset. It's a mindset. They've created this myth, this illusion that we're better. See, when they had the Articles of Confederation, it was more the states were their own states. They were their own countries. It was like the state of Georgia, you know, the state of Israel. I mean, it's like its own state, its own country. Okay. So then they sit there and they go, all right, we have these states, and you have the Hamilton guys and so on that want to have a central plan, a central taxing authority, a central bank. That was what was behind this whole thing. And they had this convention that was supposed to be to do a weight and measures deal and money and kind of had a common, just a little treaty negotiations between the states and the Articles of Confederation. And they go, close the door, be all secret. We're going to write an entirely new government. And what was the big heck? You know, most of the people wanted the monarchy. Yeah, they wanted to have George Washington being king. But the main thing that they wanted was, and it was only a fraction of the people, only a few people that signed the Declaration of Independence were even part of the Constitutional Convention. And the one thing that they wanted is the power. They wanted central power. They wanted them to be the ultimate authority. They wanted to be able to tax the people. And even Hamilton even said, well, how can we fund a sustained war if we don't have the power to tax everybody? I'm like, hell, that's the best reason for not doing it. You know, so I could see what was happening. And even back then, when you start reading the Federalist Papers and the Anti-Federalist Papers, the Anti-Federalists was like Patrick Henry and Thomas Paine and Jefferson. These guys go, no. I smell a rat. I see what you're doing. Rhode Island refused to even be part of it. After they said they only need 9 of the 13 states to make this thing. Fine. Well, one of them said, we're not playing, was Rhode Island. Rhode Island said, no, we're good. So what did they do with the newly formed country? The U.S. Senate declared war on Rhode Island and boycotted them, or did a blockade. And we're going, whoa. So a couple of weeks later, they sign in. This is your constitution. And it was because they wanted the ability to do exactly what you're talking about. They wanted to take your property nicely, though. I mean, you know, we're going to give you something for it, but they're going to take it nonetheless. Here's some beads. So I'm going, okay, I get it. So we've been ingrained with this education that the Constitution is you can complain all you want, but you're not allowed to challenge the very mechanism by which they control us. It's like the Chinese. They go, look, yeah, we can have free market capitalism. You can be capitalist all you want as long as you don't challenge the communist authority over it. Then you go, okay, well, the same thing's happening here. You can sit there and complain all you want. But what you're not allowed to do is to challenge our ability to give you benefits in the term of Social Security while at the same time opting out of us controlling your body. And I'm going, is a real issue to save money? I don't want to have you regulate my health care. Okay, I'm going to save you money. I want to be able to. No, you're not allowed to do that. I'm saving you money. And then, oh, nope. You don't get your Social Security benefits then. Oh, so you tied it to, but you took it from me, and you're taking it. Where's my takings? You know, I get just compensation. I mean, at least give me a dollar of the money I put in back. At least give me something, you know. And then you're going to go, oh, yeah, the system worked because now they give us a takings clause. Yeah, you know, you're right. We took from you, so then we're going to give you a benefit. And what is it? I don't know. You get a shiny hat or something. You know, they're going to decide what it is. And because you've missed the real libertarian-oriented battle in this thing of I put a hand on your shoulder and I go, Martha, whose body, whose life is this? And if you come up with any other answer other than it's yours, well, then it belongs to somebody else. It's somebody else's. And I'm going, well, whose is it? And who determines how much is theirs? And the government. Well, then what do? You go, yep, you know, the government, the Constitution is a good document. It does what? It provides the infrastructure for them to do exactly what they're doing. And everything, every law, every action that they have, every authority that they've taken over us is constitutional. You know why? Because they said it is, and you gave them the power to determine whether it was constitutional or not. You lose no matter what.
Well, I can't agree. I can't disagree.
It's something to think about, but either way,
but
I think
I have an interesting story.
Oh, but you got to wait till we come back. See, we're going to do the whole 2 hours. I just knew it.
I just knew it.
All right. Well, Martha, you go ahead and hold on to your story because
sure.
it better be a good one, because I'm telling you, man, I see where this is going. It's always about control. It's about turning a human being into a battery for the machine. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 1-800-313-9443.
You wanted to know what the Matrix is, Neo? This is the construct. It's our loading program.
This isn't real.
What is real? How do you define real? If you're talking about what you can feel, what you can smell, what you can taste and see, then real is simply electrical signals interpreted by your brain. This is the world that you know. The world as it was at the end of the 20th century. It exists now only as part of a neural interactive simulation that we call the Matrix. You've been living in a dream world, Neo. This is the world as it exists today.
Welcome to the desert of the real.
What is the Matrix? Control. The Matrix is a computer-generated dream world built to keep us under control in order to change a human being.
No. I don't believe it. It's not possible.
I didn't say it would be easy, Neo.
I just said it would be the truth.
Stop. Let me out. Let me out. I want out.
Still there. This is what this is about. It is a mechanism by which to turn human beings into what? Supporters of the guys that want to turn you. And you got the Constitution was intentional. I encourage you to read Hologram of Liberty by Kenneth Royce, otherwise known as Boston Tea Party. And I'm telling you, the real history behind all this is not what you were taught in junior high. And they start government and all this stuff and education and social studies and everything in junior high, right when kids start to become questioners of authority because they're going through puberty and the hormones are making them questioners of authority. I mean, if you had kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's why they have junior high. That's when they do it. They need to get us changed into the very thought process to where we go around carrying constitutions in our pocket, upholding the sacred scroll that gives them the power to rule us. Stop! The Declaration of Independence was 180 degrees from that, 180 degrees. Whenever governments be destructive of the supporting and defending of individual rights, it's time to alter or abolish. At what point do they get determined to be bad? I'm just wanting to know when that happens. They violate the First Amendment every which way they can. Free speech zones, Patriot Act, blah, blah, blah. Second Amendment, joke. You know, the third, fourth, fifth. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I'm going, how bad does it have to get? The only one that anybody made an argument that they hadn't done on a regular basis is the quartering of soldiers. And I'm going, yeah, well, I remember when they did Waco, they took everybody's house around there and moved the guys in. I'm going, you know, I mean, you know, it's not like they got a stakeout for some drug dealing, kind of doing whatever nonviolent crime anyway. I mean, you know, here they come. They're taking over your stuff. I'm going, yes, they violate every single one when it suits them. And then we get to complain, say, that was unconstitutional. You shouldn't. When I needed my guns the most after a hurricane, Katrina goes through New Orleans, I got the, you know, the redcoats coming in taking all my guns away. I'm like, well, somebody explain this to me. What the heck do you think we had that for? Duck hunting? So I this is why I call my show Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock, because I understand the thought process behind the revolution to begin with. And a decade later, the Articles of Confederation did not give them the ability to collectivize us under one thing they wanted more than anything else is a central bank thing, which we are in our fourth incarnation of a central bank. And we'll see how this turns out. But I'm telling you, Martha, you know, to acquiesce to them from the beginning, that they had the ability to take it from me, but gosh darn it, they got to give me, you know, adjudicate in my favor that I get some kind of benefit from. You've already lost the argument. You see my point?
I see your point completely.
So I think this is great that we're going to challenge this. I think it's educational. I think it's very simple. I think it's like, hey, I'm going to save you money. I don't want to be in it. No. So that, and where do we see this applied in other places?
And again, you know, most of us look at it at the money. And one of my mentors, Sue Blevins of Institute for Health Freedom, she's the one who says, Martha, it's not about the money. It's about the freedom.
Exactly.
She will say that over and over. Yes, we do have a good, strong fiscal argument, but if it cost more money for us to be free, it would be better.
Freedom's
the
answer.
It's not about the money.
What's the question?
Yep.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? And we can see this happen. I tell you where it's most insidious, where they do it. You just want to slap them, choke them. Education.
Well, I wanted to tell you a Lovolution story, a style story. It's pre-Lovolution.
Please.
Are you ready?
Go.
It's a happy tax repeal story. So I lived in Santa Cruz County some years ago, and the county commissioners had imposed a 7% utility tax, and that was the five utilities that connect physically to our house, gas, electricity, water, sewer, I don't remember. There's a fifth one.
Phone.
And 7% tax. Well, the Republicans knew that this tax was a bad tax, and it's a Democrat county. So they started fighting. They brought the Libertarians in, and the Libertarians had the philosophical arguments. But Libertarians are typically impoverished. I don't know why. And so we didn't have the resources to fight this. The Republicans, however, in Santa Cruz County are probably an average of 60, 65 years old. So they don't have the leg to fight. And so the two organizations got together, and the Republicans helped to do the funding, while the Libertarians did the legwork. And I had the privilege of collecting 400 signatures for that particular petition and debated a county commissioner on cable. But what was really interesting is that the Libertarians created stencils. They found old plywood, left over from roofing projects, and started stenciling. And it just created a really interesting environment, and we eventually prevailed. We actually won on this. But the extra story is that I was sent in to talk to the Green Party organization, who had not had a position on this yet. And the Republicans said, there's no way we can go in and talk to the Greens. You do it. I said, sure, I'll go in. I'll debate the head union person who's on one side and I'm on the other side. And so we did. We went and debated. And it was, a blast. I encourage all of your listeners to participate. You meet interesting and passionate people all over the place. But the thing that was really interesting was, and this relates to your Constitution, people following the rules. So the Green guys, they wanted these taxes. But I asked them, were the rules followed? Here we are, third-party individuals. If we're going to try to have a voice in the political system, we have to force the people in power to follow the rules. Otherwise, it's a completely lawless situation. You're going to get absolutely nowhere. And they govern by consensus, and I was able to prevent a consensus for an entire month. Eventually, they came out opposed to our position, but they couldn't have a consensus while I was there. And it was great. It was great. It was a lot of fun.
The power of a principled argument cannot be dismissed. I mean, it's like a splinter in your mind. You know, it's another Matrix scene that I have a lot. I know why you're here. It's like a splinter in your mind driving you mad. And once you plant that splinter in their cortex, they can't dislodge it without, doing some kind of mental gymnastics, and it doesn't work. And that's why they need mandatory youth indoctrination. They need to spend trillions of dollars over decades inoculating the cortex of your children with this government education. And it's, this welfare education system. They need you in this system so that they can. Here in Arizona, Janet Napolitano was governor until recently here, and her number one thing was to have taxpayer-funded preschool. I mean, down to 3 years old. That we obviously are not indoctrinating and creating good little serfs because, there's too much freedom out there, damn it. So if we get them at 3 years old, maybe we can brainwash them. By the time they get into junior high, we can, instill all this Constitution, authority, this is how you do it thing. I'm telling you, I am not afraid to come out and say it is this worship of any constitution, much less one that gives them all these powers, that is causing the problem. The compromise made with the libertarians of the day was the Bill of Rights. That is just as much or even more so part of the Constitution than the Constitution. The Constitution is all about the power, the power, the power. The Bill of Rights was the limits on the power. But you gave the government the ability to determine whether the Bill of Rights is being violated by the government or not. I'm like, well, what'd you think was going to happen? So you've given them these big, giant loopholes to control us, like a takings thing. Well, you go, and so what's the argument? It's not that, the whole thing is screwed up, this whole idea that you get to put a gun to my head and take from me, and as long as I get some kind of just compensation, that you determine what was just. I'm going, whoa. We even need to go further than that before we realize there's a problem? Well, they don't want you to question. You're not allowed to question. You're a bad person if you question. The government Amendment is, you know, the Constitution is a divine inspired document. I'm like, man, if I'm God and I'm looking down, I'm going, don't even put me involved with this thing. Heck no. You know, you got 3/5 of a person, you know, for a slave, you know, for if you're black. And so I'm, don't tell me how divine this document is. So I'm going, no. I'm going back to the basics, man. It is the Declaration of Independence that started this country. People bled and died and killed for is that when a government becomes destructive of defending individual rights, it is time to alter or abolish. It is not only your right, it's your duty. So I'm going, look, I'm not saying take up arms. It's individual decision. Do whatever. But don't advocate that it's good to be the given entity the ability to put a gun to your head and take your stuff, take your money. And then when you want to save them money and I just don't want you to rule me on my health care, for them to go, no. You're not allowed. Oh, and if you do this, well, we're gonna regulate the relationship you have with your doctor. We're going to put him in jail. We're going to put you in jail. We're going to do all this stuff. And if you want to totally get out of it and just go do witch doctor stuff, fine, fine. But then you got to pay back all the stuff that you've gotten from us, even after you paid in. You know, so I'm going, wow, at what point do we realize what the real battle is here? The battle is for our mind. The battle is for us to understand what the real problem is. There are people that just want to be left alone, and there are people that just won't leave them alone. And the reason they won't is because they want dominion over your life. They want dominion over your wallet. They want dominion over the future generations, over your children. They want dominion over your property. And we are supporting a document that gives them exactly that. And I go, why? Waiting on you now.
I would say that the main reason is because we have no other structure by which to challenge it.
There is no structure to challenge. That's what the Levolution was all about. I mean, you were in the middle of this. I mean, how many times did you go to an event for the first time in your life, certainly as a libertarian activist since the 80s, for the first time in your life, the average age was below 30?
It was electric. I've never been to an event that was so incredibly energetic.
And these and who do we have representing even the Libertarian Party now? They will do everything they can to diminish the effect of that. They want to know. Everybody wanted to know where these young libertarians were. Just Google Ernest Hancock CNN. You Google Ernest Hancock CNN, and you can see I was on Rick Sanchez CNN doing this gun thing that was here. Long story. Bottom line was this. I'm going, look, everybody wanted to know where all these young activists were going to come from. They wanted to know where the youth was. They wanted to know where they were engaged. Well, they're engaged. But you know what? They're not engaged inside traditional politics, not even the Libertarian Party, because they've already acquiesced to this control of the government. The biggest problem that I have, you know, and the audience, it's not a secret. I'm running for national chair of the Libertarian Party. And the one thing that is amazing to me, I talk to some people, well, BCR, whatever the heck it is, the McCain-Feingold thing. They go, well, they say that we can and can't do this, and they say that, and we got to fill out this form, and we're looking for more forms to fill out, and we need to pay attorneys extra money to go find out if there's any other forms that we missed that we should go fill out. I'm like, why are you structuring yourself even in between the ears, the mind that you have, that you want to fill out the forms, that you need to fill out the forms? Why aren't we challenging the form filling out? And there's no way that we can structure ourselves that we don't have to fill out forms? And ballot status belongs to the states, not even national. And you want to beg to fill out forms. Why? Why? And if we're going to, can we challenge them? I'm going, we got a what? You know, why? I mean, as national chair, I'm like, why? I want to challenge which one? And then you have tons of attorneys begging to help you for free. If you're willing to take on a real principle to battle, you will have help. And they go, oh, no, we can't count. What? Where you been the last 2 years? What did you think just happened to this entire country, to this entire planet, with the concept of a libertarian philosophy and a people not structured, left alone? They will whip ass. And that's what we do here at Freedom's Phoenix. And Martha's a butt-whipping individual, too. So I'm go ahead. We got just about a minute in this segment here. I'll let you go. And the last 5 minutes, I'll rant on my own. But, you know, I go ahead and give out the contact information and what the timeline is for your lawsuit.
Thanks, Ernie. Well, our organization is called the Fund for Personal Liberty, and we are litigating for your health freedom. We are a nonprofit, nonpartisan, 501c3, and our articles, our bylaws state we are designed to take all legitimate action to further the defense of the rights of individuals who are suffering from legal injustice as a result of denials and restrictions of their fundamental rights to obtain health care. So
and
that's,
you know,
what we're doing.
And my thing is, you know what legitimate action is to make fun of them. They're being bad. And I'm going to do what I can to help you. Thanks, Martha, for coming
on.
It was
a
great
time. Thank you so much, Ernie. It's been wonderful.
My pleasure.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock. And less conversation, a little more action. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more fight, a little less fun. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart. And baby, say it's my way.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Yeah, Martha DeForest, that was an excellent interview. I'm glad she got, we were talking about something else earlier today. I go, you know, you got to come on. Come on about your lot. I mean, come on, come on, come on. Because this is an excellent example of the very things that we need to understand so we understand what this battle is about. It is not arguing for a more gilded cage.
That's exactly right.
This is I do not want a prettier, more velvet line, shinier, diamond encrusted cage. You know, this is what I understand. And there's so much wonderful stuff going on. You know, Martha, thanks for coming on. I appreciate you sharing this with me. And I'm going to go out with a, you know, at the end here, just a, you know, a good feel good song that's kind of, man, I just got the love. It's all about the love. And I want to make sure that we all understand that there is a positive aspect to all humanity. Because if human beings were not good, inherently decent people want to do the right thing. They don't enjoy, unless they got, you know, mental problems, as is created by government usually anyway. You know, they don't enjoy stealing or taking or doing or making people suffer. We have this empathy thing in our mind that makes us decent people, because that's what perpetuates our species. If we are all, everybody's bad and feeding on each other, you become zombies. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, we are inherently good people, and bad people use collective power to try and control us. That is what we're fighting against. That is the problem. That is what we have to arm ourselves with, is the knowledge that it's really a beautiful, beautiful place out there, and we can all benefit from it.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white. The bright, blessed day, the dark, sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They learn much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Ooh, yeah.
All my love, peace out.